Alex Ferrario joins us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. A bat that was swung by Lou Gehrig sold for $1,025,000 by Heritage Auctions in Dallas. We're going to go around the table here. We'll start with Alex and then BT Ranj. Would you pay $1 million for any piece of sporting equipment that a player used or wore?
Ooh, $1 million.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would pay $1 million. I think I would probably pay $1 million for something that was used or worn in the 1980 Miracle on Ice game. Fun story, when we were in Vegas when I was 18, which we went, I didn't gamble, of course, couldn't. But my dad and I saw a painting of that celebration on the ice when USA beat the Soviet Union, and it was signed by everybody, including Herb Brooks, and it was $10,000. And my dad and I were so close to wanting to spend money on it, and we didn't.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. BT, $1 million.
That is cool. I'm assuming that if I'm spending $1 million on this, I have so much freaking money that this is a drop in the bucket. With that being said, absolutely not. There is nothing. There is nothing I can think of that I care enough about to want to have in my home for $1 million.
If I had a ton of money, and again, this is all, like you said, this is predicated on whether or not I am really wealthy and $1 million isn't going to ruin me. If I had that kind of cash, yes, I think I would do it. I'm not much of a sports collector, but if I had that kind of money, you get me like a Lou Gehrig uniform.
Sold last year for $2.58 million.
Oh, well, then yeah, fine, $2.58, I'll do that. I actually got to hold a Shoeless Joe Jackson bat once, and they made us wear white gloves, and you know you had to be very careful when you touched the thing. It looked like a table leg, but I think I would pay a lot of money for something like that.
I would Joe Jackson shoes.
Well, he didn't have any. That's why I didn't get to hold them, because he was shoeless.
Would you guys pay $1 million for a used Babe Ruth cigar?
No.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. Do I have $1 billion? Then yes, I would pay for that.
We do get a text into the Air Comfort Service text line 65780 that says Ted Williams head, and I could maybe.
Yeah. Hey, where'd you get that?
That's going to cost you it's probably illegal to sell
times
a head.
Tough.
Number
it
one.
Is.
So on the black market, what do you think Ted Williams head would go for?
7 to 8 million, probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would pay.
Yeah.
That. If I'm a billionaire, I'd pay
10
for
mil.
It.
You have to have a really unique setup, though, right? Don't you have to have it like under frozen glass, and people have to be able to see it?
Yeah, is it frozen or is it in formaldehyde?
Frozen.
It's frozen still.
It's frozen to a tuna can.
Or do you turn it into a ventriloquist doll?
Oh, wow.
Probably not.
What a thought.
I'm not sticking my hand in that, Alex.
Get a pole. You use one of those poles that they use, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you could go in and, like, go into the room where it's being stored and say, hey, how you feeling? And they'd say, I got a head cold.
Hey, I'm on board with this.
We better talk some hockey or something just in case. Hey, I
what else would
that.
You spend $1 million on, Alex?
That's actually a really good question, too. We'll get back to that in a second. Think about it. Think about what if you had $1 million right now, what you would do with it. I do want to ask you, though, because I know you've got an ear to the ground. I mean, you're always digging in, trying to figure out some research. We were talking the other day about the proposal of Major League Baseball. And, look, it seems crazy to think about there could be baseball in May. But they've got a proposal, at least they're trying to put together. They're working through a lot of things, but at least there's chatter, right? And it is the league talking about this. The NBA, same thing. We hear about them. Potentially Las Vegas is a landing spot. Have you heard anything out of the NHL as far as outside-the-box thinking that doesn't just have the season resuming when all is, quote-unquote, well?
Yeah, we have actually, and we talked about this a little this week in hockey, but there are some conversations out there, and Pierre LeBrun reported this, and you know these are conversations like baseball and basketball is right now, but they've talked about playing all of the teams to wrap up the regular season at a neutral site, not just one neutral site, but a couple of different neutral sites, and they've talked about that just to try and get the regular season wrapped up,
and then hopefully that they have some clear air once it gets past the regular season and into the postseason to where they can send teams back to their cities or to wherever they'd be playing and play in empty stadiums. Now, the neutral sites that have been reported to be used is University of North Dakota's ice rink, which right now I think it's a low-risk area in North Dakota. And, I mean, that's a Joey said last night, like, they North Dakota thrives off of that ice rink and that university. And the other one that they've thrown out there is the Buffalo Sabres practice facility, which has numerous different sites. Now, I don't know how that would work because I think, obviously, New York, and I'm assuming Buffalo close by would be a high-risk area, but they've thrown those out there of playing in empty arenas, practice facilities, college, universities, for the neutral site, getting all of the teams to try and wrap up the regular season.
So I feel like, and we were talking earlier today about you know, the NFL wanting to go through with their draft and try to, you know, keep business as usual as best as they possibly can as they lead up to a regular season, hoping that's going to go on. If the NHL doesn't end up having a 2020 regular season or a Stanley Cup playoff at all this year, how do we move forward going into next year? I mean, everything's going to be completely different in how we do things, but to have a season totally wiped out by something like this, it really doesn't. I mean, it's happened in baseball before, but something like this really doesn't happen all that often in hockey.
No, it really doesn't, and I think the last time it happened was when the Spanish flu pandemic took over the NHL, and I don't even know if that canceled really the full season. I think that was just part of it, but, you know, it's going to be kind of an interesting setup for what happens, and, you know, Pierre LeBrun also reported yesterday that some teams that know that if the season were to start today or whenever it would pick up wouldn't make the playoffs, you know, they've already started to kind of have those end-of-season conversations, the meetings with players, with staff. And it's an interesting point, too, because you got to think of the scenario with a lot of these teams that had interim coaches that are, you know, do we stick with these guys or do we look for somebody else? We really don't have an off season if they play or if they don't play. I'm curious of what kind of impact it's going to have, one, on the off season moves and how much it's going to impact in terms of roster players, players deciding on free agency, what that salary cap looks like, the coaching staff. But I'm also kind of curious of what it's going to look like financially for some teams that really were relying on that TV money or the money from the fans and the stands, like an Arizona Coyotes or like a Carolina Hurricanes or like a Calgary Flames. Like, I'm curious how those teams are going to kind of make justice from the total financial loss that they had with the rest of this season and the playoffs wiped out, and then going into next season, what that looks like for the owner. So I think you're probably going to be looking at a lot of big changes when it comes to some of those lower level teams because of the financial hit that they had and what that roster may look like. And you might see some big turnover in free agency if there's some type of free agency.
Alex, it'll be fun over the course of the next couple of days, Thursday and Friday nights, to complete the 11-game winning streak and then start the playoffs on the one-year anniversary of the Blues starting the playoffs against Winnipeg. We'll hear each of those games the next two nights here on 101 ESPN.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, guys. You know, last week was already enjoyable talking about the Bennington debut of that shutout against the Flyers and, of course, Berube's victory. But now you're starting to get into the exciting portion of that season and the postseason, obviously. That 11-game win streak is such a defining moment of that season because when you look back on that 11-game win streak, you know, you had that victory that you played against the Florida Panthers in the midst of it where you were down going into the third period. The overtime victory against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was the premier team that the Blues took down. And then, of course, you get that 11-game win streak, which I'm sure you guys remember, but that Ryan O'Reilly played defensively to eliminate Mitch Marner's shot in overtime and then going the opposite direction to score the goal. So that's going to be fun. We're going to talk with Mike Van Rijn tomorrow night on our pregame show before the puck drop with Curbs and Joey. And then Friday we get into the playoffs, and that Winnipeg Jets series was probably the toughest series I think that the Blues had to go through. We'll talk with some of the broadcasters from the Winnipeg Jets side. We'll hear from Bernie Federko on it as well. So it's going to be a fun fun end of the week going into the weekend to start the playoff reminiscing, and then we get to go through all 16 victories, including that hand pass game, which I am really looking forward to making fun of Erik Karlsson and Pete DeBoer after that one.
Alex, we all knew that the Blues team last year was a lot better than they played early on. We talked about just giving it time. But I wonder for you, was there a time, and maybe it was during that 11-game win streak, that you finally looked at that team and said, all right, I believe in this group. Like not that necessarily at the time you said they're going to go win a Stanley Cup, but I believe that this is the team that I expected to see.
You know what moment it was, BT? It was that shutout overtime victory against Tampa Bay. And I think that was like victory number 4 or 5 in that 11-game win streak for the Blues. But you had a team that was the premier team in the NHL. I mean, they had 100-plus points at the end of the season. They were the team that was going to win the Stanley Cup, according to everybody. Vasilevsky wasn't letting goals in. Stamkos, Kucherov, these guys were on a tear. But then the Blues come in where nobody expected it. Binnington posts a shutout. And that was a shutout where he saw 40-plus shots on goal. But then it was the grinding ability of that Blues team to just not waver the fact that they weren't getting anything past Vasilevsky, and then go into overtime and just a Brayton Schenn breakaway in overtime to just put one past Vasilevsky. That, to me, was the moment that I said, okay, this team is not going to be easy to deal with. And then, of course, you kind of push through the rest of that 11-game win streak with convincing victories against the New Jersey Devils, scoring 8 goals. The overtime win against the Maple Leafs, which we'll hear tomorrow or on Thursday night. But I think that Tampa Bay game for me was the moment where I said, okay, this team legitimately has a chance to be a Stanley Cup champion.
Alex, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Fellas, keep up the entertainment. Loving the show. And we will guys see you at the station tomorrow. Well, some of you guys, while BT and Roger in quarantine.
All right, we will see you here tomorrow, Alex. And by the way, tonight you've got Behind the Bench brought to you by Boardwalk Hardwood Floors. That's after us at 6 here on 101 ESPN. Next up, get your text in to the Air Comfort Service text line 65780. The Sports 6-Pack coming your way on 101 ESPN.